The Book of Daniel, number 86. The Prophetic Unveiling, Understanding the Increase of Knowledge and the Midnight Cry Message. Key takeaways. This article discusses the symbolic representation of the increase of knowledge as found in the Book of Daniel and how it relates to the message of the Midnight Cry. It explores the idea that this increase of knowledge signifies an escalation of truth culminating in the latter rain. The article also touches on the contrast between the wise who recognize the latter rain message and the wicked who do not. It references biblical passages like Daniel 12:9-10 and Isaiah 28:14-15 to support its arguments. The article delves into the symbolic interpretation of the increase of knowledge from the book of Daniel. It suggests that this increase of knowledge represents a progression of truth that reaches its climax with the latter rain message, known as the Midnight Cry. The contrast is made between two classes of people, the wise, who embrace the latter rain message, and the wicked, who fail to recognize it. It highlights the significance of September 11, 2001, as the beginning of the latter rain, suggesting that the nation's anger on that day marked a pivotal moment. The article references passages from the Bible, such as Daniel 12:9-10 and Isaiah 28:14-15, to support its interpretations. It discusses how the leadership of Laodicean Adventism is represented in Ezekiel chapters 8 and 9 and Isaiah chapter 28. The ancient men of Jerusalem in the last days are portrayed as failing the test of the rest and refreshing, which relates to the latter rain message. It emphasizes the role of the scornful men who accept lies and falsehoods, contributing to the acceptance of a false latter rain message. The article mentions a debate in connection with the latter rain message, drawing from Habakkuk chapter 2. It presents Miller's jewels as foundational truths represented by Christ, the rock of ages, which the wise uphold. The false latter rain message, characterized as a lie and falsehood, is connected to the third generation of Adventism, starting in 1919. The article stresses the importance of identifying the lie in prophecy, which prevents Laodicean Adventism from recognizing the increase of knowledge in 1989. It discusses the false application of the daily in the book of Daniel and how it resulted from a purposeful lie. The correct understanding of Daniel chapter 11's last six verses is tied to the removal of this false application. The article mentions the military power of pagan Rome and its role in standing up for the papacy, polluting the sanctuary of strength, and taking away the daily. The papacy's influence and the removal of resistance are compared to the three horns plucked up in Daniel chapter 7. The article discusses the history leading up to the collapse of the Soviet Union and the role of the United States as the arms standing up for the papacy. It anticipates the future events described in Daniel 11, with the United States eventually succumbing to the papacy. Finally, the article emphasizes the need to understand prophecies, especially as the world enters a time of trouble, drawing from Daniel 12:1-4. We are dealing with the parallel between the movements of the first and third angels in order to better understand what the increase of knowledge represents symbolically when it is unsealed at the time of the end. We are attempting to demonstrate that it represents an escalation of truth that ultimately climaxes as the latter rain, which is the message of the Midnight Cry. As a symbol, the increase of knowledge is derived from the book of Daniel, and it is there identified as the prophetic knowledge that tests and produces two classes of worshipers. And he said, "Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand." Daniel 12:9-10. In 1989, an increase of knowledge was unsealed that will ultimately demonstrate two classes of worshipers. Those two classes are illustrated in the context of how they relate to the message of the latter rain. The wicked do not recognize or receive the latter rain, and the wise do. The wicked therefore do not see when the latter rain begins to fall, and it began to fall when the nations were angered on September 11, 2001. We have been addressing the leadership of Laodicean Adventism as represented in Ezekiel chapters 8 and 9, and also in Isaiah chapter 28. In Isaiah, the scornful men made lies their refuge and hid themselves under falsehood. Wherefore hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem. Because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Isaiah 28:14-15. The ancient men of Jerusalem of the last days fail the test of the rest and refreshing that is represented by the methodology of line upon line, which allows the wise to recognize the latter rain of the last days through the historical illustration of the latter rain in the Millerite history. The prophetic characteristic of the scornful men that Isaiah emphasizes in the passage is the lies and falsehood that they hid under and made their refuge. Therefore, in connection with the test of the latter rain message, the rest and refreshing that they would not hear, the ancient men of Jerusalem have accepted a lie. The latter rain message arrives with a debate, as represented in Habakkuk chapter 2, when the watchman there asks God what he should answer in the debate of his history. For the word reproved in verse 1 of chapter 2 means argued with. I will stand upon my watch, and set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what he will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. Habakkuk 2:1. The wise during the debate of the latter rain present the truths represented as Miller's jewels, which are also the foundational truths identified, established, and presented by the Millerites. Those truths are represented as Christ, the Rock of Ages. Let those who stand as God's watchmen on the walls of Zion be men who can see the dangers before the people, men who can distinguish between truth and error, righteousness and unrighteousness. The warning has come. Nothing is to be allowed to come in that will disturb the foundation of the faith upon which we have been building ever since the message came in 1842, 1843, and 1844. I was in this message, and ever since I have been standing before the world, true to the light that God has given us. We do not propose to take our feet off the platform on which they were placed, as day by day we sought the Lord with earnest prayer, seeking for light. Do you think that I could give up the light that God has given me? It is to be as the Rock of Ages. It has been guiding me ever since it was given. Review and Herald, April 14, 1903. The ancient men present a false latter rain message that is represented by Isaiah as a lie and a falsehood. In Ezekiel chapter 8, the history that identifies when the ancient men of Jerusalem are bowing to the sun and are contrasted with those who receive the seal of God in the next chapter. The third abomination generation represents a false latter rain message as represented by the weeping for Tammuz. In the third generation of Adventism, which began in 1919, a lie was introduced in connection with the false gospel publicly presented by W.W. Prescott at the 1919 Bible Conference. That lie is a specific subject of the third generation, and the lie is the false foundation of the false latter rain message, represented by the weeping for Tammuz. It is important to spend time pinpointing the lie in prophecy, for the lie is the major reason Laodicean Adventism cannot see the increase of knowledge in 1989. The lie is that the daily in the book of Daniel represents Christ's sanctuary ministry. Applying the daily prophetically as Christ's sanctuary ministry is a false and incorrect prophetic application. But the lie is not simply identifying the false identification of the daily as a prophetic symbol. It also represents a lie that claims that Sister White agreed with the false application, and then using that falsehood to then establish the incorrect application as established truth. The correct understanding of the last six verses of Daniel 11 have been typified by verses 30 to 36 of Daniel 11. And when Sister White identifies the complete fulfillment of Daniel chapter 11, she states that scenes similar to those described in verses 30 to 36 of Daniel chapter 11 will be repeated. Employing the false definition of the daily produces a false historical structure. The history represented in Daniel chapter 11, verses 30 to 36, includes the taking away of the daily. The daily is either the Millerite application or application of Prescott and Daniels. Depending on which application is chosen, two different historical structures will be produced. And arms shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. Daniel 11:31. According to inspiration, the prophetic history represented in this verse, and including verse 30 and verses 32 through 36, is to be repeated in verses 40 through 45 of Daniel 11. The prophecy in the 11th of Daniel has nearly reached its complete fulfillment. Much of the history that has taken place in fulfillment of this prophecy will be repeated. In the 30th verse, a power is spoken of that shall be grieved, Daniel 11:30-36 quoted. Scenes similar to those described in these words will take place. Manuscript Releases, number 13, 394. The verse where we find the daily is verse 31. And arms shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. Daniel 11:31. The arms in the verse stand up on his part. The arms are a power, as is the one they stand up for. It is the arms in the verse that stand on his part, and the arms that pollute the sanctuary of strength, and the arms take away the daily, and it is also the arms that place the abomination that maketh desolate. In Revelation chapter 13, the dragon, which is pagan, Rome, provides three things for the papacy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, and his seat, and great authority. Revelation 13:2. The leopard-like beast is identified by Sister White as the papacy, and in chapter 12, Sister White identifies that the dragon is both Satan and also pagan Rome. Thus, while the dragon primarily represents Satan, it is, in a secondary sense, a symbol of pagan Rome. The Great Controversy, 439. In verse 2 of Revelation chapter 13, pagan Rome gave its military power, its arms, unto the papacy, beginning with Clovis, king of the Franks, France, in the year 496. Pagan Rome gave papal Rome its seat of authority in the year 330, when the emperor Constantine vacated the city of Rome and moved the capital of imperial Rome to the city of Constantinople. Pagan Rome gave the civil authority to the papacy in the year 533, when Justinian issued a decree identifying the papacy as the head of all the churches and the corrector of heretics. In verse 31, the arms that stand up are the military forces of pagan Rome that stood up for the papacy, beginning with Clovis in the year 496. For this act, the papacy identifies France as the firstborn of the Catholic Church, and sometimes as the eldest daughter of the Catholic Church. In verse 31, after Constantine passed a Sunday law in the year 321, and then moved the capital from the city of Rome unto the city of Constantinople in the year 330, the formerly invincible empire began to crumble, as the first four trumpet powers of Revelation chapter 8 began an ongoing warfare against the Roman Empire. The focus of the attacks carried out by the barbarians and Genseric were directed against the city of Rome, which before the year 330 had been the sanctuary of strength for the Roman Empire. From the year 330 and onward, invading barbarian warfare was to pollute the sanctuary of strength, until the arms of pagan Rome were to stand up for the papacy, beginning in the year 496. Not only did pagan Rome provide three things for the papal power, by giving it the military power, the civil authority, and the seat of the city of Rome, but it also removed three horns for papal Rome. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things. Daniel 7:8. The three horns that were to be plucked up in Daniel chapter 7 represented three primary powers that were resisting the rise of the papacy to power. The last of those three horns was removed when the Goths were driven from the city of Rome in the year 538. They were driven out of the city by the arms of pagan Rome, for those arms were to place the papacy, the abomination of desolation, on the throne of the then known world in the year 538. Verse 31 of Daniel 11 identifies four things the arms, pagan Rome, were going to do. They were to stand up for the papacy, as they did in the year 496. They were to pollute the sanctuary of strength, as represented by the military struggles that were carried out upon the city of Rome for roughly 2 centuries. They were to place the papacy on the throne of the earth in the year 538, and they were also to take away the daily. The Hebrew word translated as take away in the verse sur means to remove. By the year 508, the resistance from paganism that existed in the Roman Empire, that had been working to prevent the rise of the papacy to power, had been fully brought into subjection or eliminated. To identify the daily as Christ's sanctuary ministry is a false application, but the actual work that was accomplished in Laodicean Adventist history that identified the false application as the truth was based upon a specific lie that was accomplished in the third generation of Adventism. Sister White's direction that the history of verses 30 to 36 will be repeated in the final fulfillment of Daniel 11 made it impossible for the scornful men that rule Jerusalem to place an interpretation upon verse 31 without simultaneously rejecting the spirit of prophecy. The scornful men teach that the papacy took away the true understanding of Christ's sanctuary ministry by the introduction of the papal mass, which is a counterfeit of Christ's work in the heavenly sanctuary. If this were the actual meaning of the daily, then the arms that stood up in verse 31 would be the papacy. For the grammatical structure of the verse demands that the arms are the power that takes away the daily. In order to uphold their dish of fables, they argue that the papacy, arms, polluted Christ's heavenly sanctuary. The Hebrew word translated as sanctuary, mikdash, of strength, is either a pagan sanctuary or God's sanctuary. If Daniel wanted to convey that God's sanctuary was to be polluted by the papacy, he would have employed the Hebrew word kodesh, which can only represent God's sanctuary. So where is it recorded in the Bible or the spirit of prophecy that the heavenly sanctuary ever was or ever will be polluted by the papacy? Certainly, the sins of Christians are registered in the books of the heavenly sanctuary, but that representation does not mean God's sanctuary was polluted. The cleansing of the sanctuary represented the cleansing of the record books that are located in the sanctuary. Furthermore, the papal power has never been Christian, so it has never been entered into the books of the investigative judgment. The only judgment identified for the papacy is the executive judgment of God's wrath. The arms also were to place the abomination that maketh desolate, which would be what power? What power did the papacy place? And what power is it in the very opening of verse 31 that the papacy stood up for? The unlearned in Laodicean Adventism, who have placed their eternal life into the hands of men who have been identified as being unable to read the book that is sealed, may be comfortable having their itching ears soothed with that type of corrupted biblical application. But it is even more absurd to try and take the history they must identify to uphold their error and align it with the last 6 verses of Daniel 11. In the history leading up to the collapse of the Soviet Union, which can be shown to be represented as the King of the South in verse 40 of Daniel 11, the military strength of the United States stood up for the papacy, as Ronald Reagan formed a secret alliance with the Antichrist of Bible prophecy. In so doing, it signaled that any Protestant resistance to the rise of the papacy had been subdued in the United States, as typified by the removal of the resistance of paganism in the year 508. The King of the North, the papacy, in the passage first swept away the Soviet Union in 1989, and did so in partnership with chariots and horsemen, representing the military strength of the United States, and also with the economic strength of the United States as represented by the ships. The United States was the arms that stood up for the papacy. Protestantism was taken away just as the resistance of paganism was subdued by the year 508. In verse 41, the United States will be conquered by the papacy, and the Constitution of the United States, which is the sanctuary of strength of the United States, will be overturned as the United States places the King of the North, the papacy, upon the throne of the earth, as did pagan Rome in 538. If you are reading the articles on this website, then you can download the Time of the End magazine, and read a more thorough presentation of the last six verses of Daniel 11. But we are now simply identifying that the identification of the daily as Christ's sanctuary ministry is a false application of the symbol. We are doing this in order to show that the false application was brought upon Laodicean Adventism by a purposeful lie. We will continue to consider the prophetic lie in the next article. We have no time to lose. Troublous times are before us. The world is stirred with the spirit of war. Soon the scenes of trouble spoken of in the prophecies will take place. The prophecy in the 11th of Daniel has nearly reached its complete fulfillment. Much of the history that has taken place in fulfillment of this prophecy will be repeated. In the 30th verse, a power is spoken of that shall be grieved and return and have indignation against the Holy Covenant. So shall he do. He shall even return and have intelligence with them that forsake the Holy Covenant. And arms shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. But the people that do know their God shall be strong, and do exploits. And they that understand among the people shall instruct many, yet they shall fall by the sword, and by flame, by captivity, and by spoil, many days. Now when they shall fall, they shall be holpen with a little help, but many shall cleave to them with flatteries. And some of them of understanding shall fall to try them and to purge and to make them white, even to the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed. And the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that is determined shall be done. Daniel 11:30-36. Scenes similar to those described in these words will take place. We see evidence that Satan is fast obtaining the control of human minds who have not the fear of God before them. Let all read and understand the prophecies of this book, for we are now entering upon the time of trouble spoken of. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Daniel 12:1-4. Manuscript Releases, number 13, 394.